You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Talking About podcast. I am Sean Kennedy. Big news this week is all the latest in the Kevin Durant rumors. And luckily, back from vacation is the perfect guy to talk about that. So not only does he have his finger on the pulse of Sixers news, but he's also provides coverage of Brooklyn. So back on the pod once again, Dave Early. Dave, how you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back. As I said, this is the perfect, you're kind of the perfect nexus of information for me to discuss everything happening with KD. So,
which is funny because I'm always wrong about the Nets, having covered them. The closer you get, the more hard they are to predict.
Yeah, you have too much information that it kind of contradicts itself at a certain point when you hear so many different things coming at you.
Like Steve Nash, like, we are not trading James Harden under any circumstances.
Yep, that. Sometimes you have to step away and remove yourself from the situation to get the overall full picture, I guess. Yes. So as I'm sure most people listening have already heard, I'll just quickly recap. Durant made his trade request earlier this summer. It's always kind of been lingering out there. The big names that have been floated have been Toronto, Boston, Miami, Phoenix earlier in the summer was a name heavily linked. But recently he sat down and had what he described as a professional meeting where he basically said it's him or the head coach and the GM. So not sure how like cordial and professional that can be, but that was the contention. So now it's come out courtesy of SNY's Ian Begley that the Sixers had high ranking members of their organization who were, pretty adamant, like, hey, we really need to look into this KD thing. And on top of that, both Begley and Frank Isola of the New York Daily News said that Durant viewed the Sixers as a welcome landing spot, which, I mean, if we were talking 10 years ago and you said to someone, top five player in the league, basically could pick anywhere he wants to go. He has all the player empowerment power in the world right now. And the Sixers were on the short list. I think people would fall over in shock. So, I mean, this is the final nail in the process didn't work people's coffin, because what a great environment and organization that's now been constructed in Philadelphia where high-end free agents are putting the Sixers on the short list. So
yeah, we're a far cry away from Sam Hinkie pissed off all the agents long term for not paying Evan Turner.
Yeah, we're a far cry from that. We're a far cry from the when Elton Brand was not an executive, but he was a player and he was getting the Philly max where the Sixers couldn't even afford to pay max level free agents. Like, and why would they even bother? Cause no one wanted to come here. So Brand got the Philly max, which I guess was kind of like a Tobias Harris max in a sense, slightly under what an actual max was.
Just to say we saved 10 mil or whatever, 20
yeah.
mil.
Exactly, because the pinch and penny days of Sixers bygone days. We're happy that the Sixers are even in a place where anytime these guys come up, it's like, oh well, where are the Sixers a spot? But yeah, let's talk about Durant specifically. So you've been pretty adamant in our Slack discussions with Liberty Ballers that the Sixers do not have anything close to what would be considered the best offer for Durant if it was a level playing field and Brooklyn got to pick the destination. So basically what Begley in his piece kind of speculated was that an offer would be Tobias Harris you know, as a productive player, but also the main salary filling piece. Tyrese Maxey as the blue chip prospect, incredible contract still on the rookie deal, just like one of the top assets in the league. And then also Matisse Thybulle for salary matching purposes. So that would be the crux of the players that they would send out. They would also have to, you would think, send some draft compensation, but Dave, this is, I think, one of the main parts of your argument is that the Sixers are pretty hamstrung in what they could offer in terms of draft considerations. Do you want to expand upon that? And I guess give your overall argument. I already alluded to what it is, but, you know, flesh it out a little bit further for us.
Yeah, everything you said, there's like many debates that people are already having. For example, if Kevin Durant really, really wanted to be in Philly, could he make that happen? Basically, like MVPs have a lot of say. And I think the baseline for things like that is different. Like there's not a ton of precedent. Many of the examples we think about, like Jimmy Butler coming up with a short list and winding up on like one of four teams he might have wanted to play for, or James Harden doing the same with a year and a half on his contract, Anthony Davis. I don't think this fits quite as neatly into that bucket because he's got 4 years. He hasn't even begun the extension he signed last summer, and he's this good. So I think it would be a little contentious. Like, if anything, I think Joe Tsai, the ownership, might say, hey, I might take a little bit less to send you to your least favorite destination. I'd love to banish you to the Kings if they had the best offer. So Kevin might be able to dissuade an acquiring team. Like he could call Masai Ujiri and say, I will never, ever move to Toronto. I just won't do it. It's cold. I'd have to get a new citizenship. Don't bother. And that would probably be persuasive to that team, right? In terms of how much you're offering. You don't want to offer Scotty Barnes if you're hearing that. But that being said, like some teams might call his bluff. If he said, I'm going to hold out to Daryl Morey, Daryl Morey might call his bluff and say, there's never been a big three like KD, James Harden, Joel Embiid assembled in history. So I'm going to do this and just call his bluff that he's going to play. I don't think that the Sixers have the offer. I know a lot of people are saying Tyrese Maxey is one of the very best things they could get. I've seen some people saying he has more trade value than Jaylen Brown, who's a free agent in 2024 and could leave whatever team has him by then. He could decline an extension. He would be eligible extension with the Celtics if he made an all-NBA team. I'm not sure how likely that is. But he certainly might. There's a lot of moving parts. I think if you told me that Kevin Durant was traded, when I think about the Sixers' absolute all-in package, and you named most of it, it's Tobias Harris, Matisse Thybulle, who we think that they wanted back in the James Harden-Ben Simmons trade, but it might have been as a reroute. They might not have wanted him specifically. They might have wanted a pick for him because they wanted shooters around Ben Simmons. It would be Tyrese Maxey, who's the obvious blue chipper here. Then, as Zara Bryant-Soper pointed out for Forbes, you'd have to call Oklahoma and say, you know, that pick we gave you for Al Horford, we'd like to amend it. And Stan Presti would be happy to let you do that and take some of those protections away. Because then you could go to Brooklyn and say, you know, that 2027 pick you have for James Harden, let's make that fully unprotected. So you definitely get that no matter how we finish in 27. And once that's done, we can actually give you an unconditional 2029. So instead of the protected 2027, you're basically getting two unprotected picks in 27 and 29. A lot of value there the Sixers are giving up in terms of amending protections and giving their final piece. You can't trade any picks beyond 7 years. But even that, I feel like it pales in comparison to an offer headlined by Jaylen Brown. So when I hear this smoke, I think 100% it's true what Frank Isola is saying, what Ian Begley is saying, that there would be some interest. Why wouldn't Kevin Durant want to play with the Sixers? That would be the most fulfilling championship on his current resume for his legacy. There's no Steph Curry there. Sixers haven't won anything. He would be getting them over the top. There would be statues of him and Embiid and Harden for years to come, you know, on Broad Street. But how does that offer top anything else? So what I'm thinking when I hear this stuff is someone's leveraging the Sixers to get more out of a team like Boston. So what more will you attach to Jaylen Brown? Will you give us Marcus Smart? Will you give us Robert Williams? Will you give us Derek White and three picks? Because if the Sixers are interested and they're putting all that on the table, we can go to you and say, you've got to do better.
Yeah. So a couple points you made that I want to hit on. So the holdout thing's interesting to me because like a team like New Orleans, you hear, is in the mix, like a Brandon Ingram led package. But why would Kevin Durant want to go to New Orleans if they're losing Ingram as part of the return package? And like, is Kevin Durant and a nearly always injured Zion Williamson going to really make noise in the Western Conference? Like, I don't think so. So he would have no real reason to go there. Like, all of the teams on his list are teams that are, you know, possible contenders or would suddenly vault into definitely being surefire contenders if he was added into the mix. And he's going to be 34 years old when the season starts. Like, that's obviously the important part of the calculus for him. So I think to a certain extent there would be like a threat of a holdout, like, is that would dissuade teams. Like, if you mentioned Sacramento, like if Sacramento was to put together a trade package, like, I don't think anyone realistically thinks, even if they add Durant, like, Sacramento is suddenly like going to be in the top four even of the West. So I think there is a fair amount of leverage that he can play in this situation. And I guess at the end of the day, the ultimate factor would be if Brooklyn doesn't make a deal because they say, hey, you're limiting us to three or four options and we don't feel like they're good enough. Would Kevin Durant be willing to hold out and not play for Brooklyn this year if a trade didn't go through? Do you think there's any possibility of that happening?
There was a report, I think it was Christian Winfield, who said that he's not scared to avoid training camp. I think Kevin right now is just trying to, I don't know that he really has a problem with Sean Marks and Steve Nash. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me that getting rid of them makes everything, like, solves problems that he's had in the past. Maybe it's a power play to get his guy, Rich Kleiman, in the front office so he just has total say. I think there were some reports that do make more sense, that he was frustrated with their lack of lobbying former New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio on, you know, the rule that banned Kyrie from playing in home games. Maybe frustrated that they just got rid of one of his favorite assistant coaches. And I think the biggest thing of all is that, okay, there's no more mandate ordinance. Kyrie was already a full-time player and you're not going to max him. And now I'm hearing rumors that you might trade him for Russell Westbrook. I got to get out of here. Like, I don't know where this ship is headed, but I know it's headed down. So I don't think he would, even if he tried to steer where he wound up, people were making the joke that, remember the cupcake nickname he got for joining the Warriors? People are already back to Kevin only wants to play for a team that could win it without him. And that's a pretty short list, like the Suns and the Celtics. And that's fair criticism. Like, is he really putting the Boston Celtics, who just went to the finals and lost, on his short list? Like, legacy wise, that's not going to do a ton for him to win in one there, is it? So I think there's a lot of moving parts in play. I do think he'd play for a team like New Orleans. I agree with you that playing with Brandon Ingram makes a lot more sense. So maybe it's McCollum and picks. Maybe it's Zion that you're trading in that instance. I don't know really how it would work, but I have continued to hear their name pop up. The Raptors certainly make a lot of sense if he'd be willing to play there. If they could retain Scottie Barnes, I guess that would be Masai's preference. But a lot of scary scenarios in play for the Sixers, because if nothing happens, they could knock the Sixers out of the playoffs. Like, people are underestimating how good this Brooklyn Nets team is right now. If they could just find some way to get on the same page after like a nice 8-2 start.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn definitely has the talent. I mean, I think there's just so many question marks. Like, Kyrie, there's reports he wanted only to play 60 games and have that in his contract. Kevin Durant has a trade request, possible training camp holdout looming. Ben Simmons hasn't played in over a year and had back surgery and the rest of the Ben Simmons experience. You know, they lost Bruce Brown, who's a pretty important piece. They did get Royce O'Neal, so maybe that's a wash. But yeah, it's if everything broke right for them, you could definitely see a scenario where they make some noise in the playoffs. But it's hard to see them like hitting the inside straight and everything working out perfectly. There's just too much discontent and side drama and everything else that we've been led to believe you need a certain level of cohesion and chemistry to succeed in this league, and everything seems to be pointing against them in that sense. So I wouldn't feel as concerned about it from another team's perspective, like, oh, Brooklyn is going to hold pat and they'll see what happens. Like, I think that would kind of implode on them at a certain point. But let's talk about, so you talked about Jaylen Brown a lot. So it seems like from your perspective, Boston would have the most competitive offer. And so you can either confirm or deny that. And also, what do you feel like would be the worst destination from Philadelphia's perspective? Like, what package that has been offered would suddenly vault an additional team into that being that much more of a threat to the Sixers' chances this year?
It's a great question. I don't have a very clear answer for you. I think I tend to believe the rumors that the Raptors do not want to trade Scottie Barnes. Do you believe that?
Hey, yeah, because I feel like if they wanted to, that they could have gotten this done already. So I feel like they're really holding out for Brooklyn to be backed into a corner and say, like, okay, OG and Gary Trent and a lot of draft compensation, like, whatever, that's better than nothing. If KD's going to be so disgruntled, like, we can at least pivot from there.
Even Siakam, I suppose.
Yeah, so I feel like they view Scottie as their blue chip thing that they're just going to hold on to no matter what, and they're going to wait for better leverage to emerge to try and make a deal.
I agree with that, and I think if that's the case, then Jaylen Brown is the biggest name that we're hearing about. I mean, if Brandon Ingram was suddenly available, if Zion was suddenly available, that might change. Maybe, you know, depending on how Josiah values those players, Sean Marks values those players. But I think Jaylen Brown right now is the trump card, where he's the best combination of win now and win in the future. He would, if they got him and Marcus Smart, it would probably diminish their title odds, I'm guessing, but maybe not dramatically. Maybe there's a win-win deal where both the Celtics and the Nets improve their title odds incrementally, and that's a little bit bad for the Sixers because two division rivals both just got better.
Yeah, just a talent swap where both sides feel a little bit better from a chemistry perspective.
Yeah, long term, you might feel some relief. Like, okay, if the Celtics don't win it in the next 2 years, they just, you know, took one of the wheels off of their carts here by losing those two players. They're not going to have the best defense in the NBA. They're still not going to have a great answer for Joel Embiid, even with Horford and Rob Williams staying in certain iterations of a trade. So right now, and I could be persuaded otherwise, I think a worst case scenario is that Durant goes to the Raptors. And my thinking is that right now the Sixers are definitively better than the Raptors. If he went to the Raptors would probably be better than the Sixers. They might be favorites overall, depending on how that trade played out. And if that's the case, there's just one new team who's now in front of you, including the Celtics, who are already better, and including the Bucks, who are already better. And now you got a third team who's definitively there. Maybe the Heat as well, which, you know, we could waffle about back and forth. But if it was the Celtics that he went to, the Celtics are already better. And then the Nets are basically off the board, or maybe you debate that if they got Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. But we would guess that the Nets would be diminished, in which case one of the teams who could knock the Sixers out of the playoffs would be, you know, less good. And one of the teams would be more good, but the team was already better than you. So it's just one less thing to worry about. And for those reasons, I think the Raptors would be a worst case at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even if it did end up being Scottie Barnes, I just feel like he's still so young that it's a great get for Brooklyn from a team building perspective. But if we're looking at an Embiid Harden timeline, then you're not as worried about Scottie Barnes in the next 2 years. And Kevin Durant with Siakam and Van Vliet and everything else they have on that roster, if they didn't have to completely dismantle it because they included
just him in the Kawhi role, right?
Yeah. So, exactly. So if it was just like Barnes and some other tertiary pieces just to make it work, but it Barnes wasn't and, any other core.
I think Barnes and Trent Jr. and a pick could get it done.
Yeah, exactly. So the Raptors would be substantially better with Durant for the next 2 years. Like,
horrifying.
From a team building perspective, like, good bit of business by the Nets. But yeah, suddenly Brooklyn goes from, yeah, probably not as good as the Sixers because of all the drama and everything else, to they're a definite rebuild team. But from a looking at the Eastern Conference hierarchy perspective, nothing changes. But suddenly Toronto would go from, you know, a tier below the Sixers to maybe the best team in the East. So that would be, as you said, a really terrifying result from a Sixers perspective. So, all right, I think we fleshed out the Brooklyn / Durant side of things pretty extensively. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor. And when we come back, we're gonna look at the Sixers end of things.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know, it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, so we're back. So let's talk about Philadelphia. As we mentioned earlier, a speculative return package for Durant would be Tobias, Maxey, and Matisse with whatever the 29 pick and removing the protection on the 27 pick. And I guess, I don't know, second rounders or something. They don't have a lot to offer in terms of draft compensation, but whatever they could. So it was funny that Tobias had his wedding over the weekend.
Yes.
Congratulations to Tobias. It looked like him and his wife had a wonderful day. Everything looked beautiful. So congrats to them. But the picture of him, Tyrese, Matisse, and also George Niang, and it instantly got the caption, the KD return package.
Yes.
just so perfect.
Like, Tobias laughed at that on his Instagram.
Yeah, he definitely had good humor about things. I saw somebody asked him, like, where's Joel in all these pictures? He said he's back in the bathroom taking a dump, like trying to put a wedge between him and Joel. So yeah, Tobias definitely had a great week, which, you know, awesome. I'm so glad he's happy. That, you know, going to be one of the best days of his life. So very, very good humor and taking it in stride. But yeah, you couldn't have really have scripted it any better that picture was one of the prominent ones to make the round on social media. Yeah, just absolutely perfect. So I think the angle for, well, the Sixers have a chance, even if it isn't the best return package that any team in the league could offer, is that, hey, Durant wants to play with Harden. They're close. They were recently like in Europe together, like going to a concert. They're definitely tight from their OKC days, and they seem to get along just fine again in Brooklyn. So he could just force his way here. Like, and we don't have to go into that, but we kind of mentioned that in the first part of the pod. Like, if he wants to come to the Sixers, stars have certain degree of leverage, and KD's at the pinnacle of the sport. Like, he could probably make it happen if he said, hey, I'm not going to play for anybody else, or like, Brooklyn, you're going to have to hold out. I'm going to hold out and not play for you. So make the best deal you can. And the Sixers offer something that involves Maxey. Like, that's not a bad offer. So they just might do it because they kind of have their hands forced. So that's a scenario where it could happen. Now, should the Sixers do that? And I think most people say, yeah, you're crazy not to trade for Kevin Durant, who has 4 years left on his deal. He'll be 34 years old, but very few people historically are as an elite a shooter as he is at his height. And I guess aside from like Dirk, nobody as a 7-footer has been as good of a shooter as Kevin Durant ever. So he should age pretty well. Like, even if he's coming off some injuries, and as he gets into his mid to late 30s, like, he's still going to be able to shoot over anyone he wants. Like, that's never going to be a skill that leaves him. So his career arc should age very well. So you're looking at a window where you have Durant, Embiid, and Harden for, I would assume Harden would want to stick around even beyond this year. So you're looking at like a 2 to 3 year window before the wheels completely fall off on like Harden and Durant. Like, that's, you gotta be the title favorite, I would think, with that trio. And if you're only losing Tobias and Matisse in addition to Maxey, like, you haven't completely dismantled your depth. Dave, I'll let you give your thoughts. Do you think it's a no-brainer? Where would you slot the Sixers if this deal was to go down?
Yeah, the only thing I would push back on is, I think when we say stars can steer where they go, we're talking about a lot of instances where stars go where they want in free agency, like LeBron James. We're talking about a lot of instances where stars have 1.5 to 1 years on their deal and they get to go where they want, because saying I will absolutely never re-sign if you trade for me is very persuasive to a lot of teams. And I think this fits a little bit differently. I think he's, with 4 years left to go and as good as he is, there would be teams to say, I don't care. Like, we're not worried about your next contract. We're not worried about if you're happy. We're going to make it work. You're worth it. So I don't think he would have as much say as a normal situation that we're used to. I do think there'd be a team that would say, look, if he's not thrilled to be here, we have to do this. And I think one of those teams should be the Sixers, because I agree with you. They would be finals favorites. I do think they'd win it all. I think it would be the right thing to do for them. I think if you were getting rid of Tobias, Matisse, Maxey, I mean, maybe even Paul Reed or Springer, if they were interested in those players, I think you'd start seeing some veterans who want to be here. You know, you might get Hassan Whiteside to say, hey, I'll take a vet min to join that team.
Yeah, you definitely get your first choice of the buyout guys in February.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. You'd probably get a few right now that you like, a couple names that are still out there floating. I mean, not Colin Sexton, but maybe a Whiteside. Kent Bazemore just went, so there's guys like that. Ben McLemore is a sniper that's played with James Harden. I think people would want to play for that team. I think it is weird to me because everything you said is true about KD and Harden getting along, but then we read, like, Jake Fisher report that there was this massive Cold War between them going on, all related to Kyrie. So I guess they've completely squashed that. And I'm guessing they joked on this London trip, on this, you know, Barcelona trip they're on, like, dude, Sean Marks should have told you to kick rocks and just kept you. We would have not been a playing team. We would have been at least a 6 seed, and Kyrie would have been full time by then. We would have made some noise in the playoffs, and then we could max you right now. And Harden was probably like, yeah, why don't you come to Philly?
Yeah, we'll do it there, and we won't have to deal with Kyrie being a weirdo.
We just need Michael Rubin to convert some Fanatic stocks and unprotected Kings picks that we could trade.
If only you could, if only there was a marketplace for converting Fnatic stock into draft compensation.
Yes, in some that's way. The thing right now.
like an NFT bridge or something where you can make it happen. But yeah, so
they would win it. They would, that trio would win it, and all the vetmins they would sign.
Yeah, because to Daryl and the Sixers front office's credit, they've done a really good job. They have the depth this year. They're at least nine to 10 legitimate reputation pieces they have in place right now. So if you were to do a 3-for-1 and you lose two, you're still, you know, not in a bad situation where you'd still be have a pretty solid 8-man rotation, which is really all you need for the playoffs. So yeah, and then as you said, you could get your first pick of veteran buyout guys and people would flock to come here because you'd be the title favorite. So yeah, it's a weird situation because Tyrese Maxey could not have done anything more in his short time here thus far to endear himself to the Philadelphia fan base. Like the whole
he's on the fast track to a statue, let's face it.
Yeah. He has the interview, like Philadelphia sports mentality down perfectly, where like he said recently that fans use their hard-earned money to pay to watch us play. So I'm not going to do anything less than be the best player I can be and work to be that every day. Like that's just like catnip for Philadelphia sports fans.
Kid who was crying at the idea he'd be traded for Durant, like called him on FaceTime and got him a jersey.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah. Just seems like the most like humble, hardworking, and like just endearing himself to the fan base. The 1% better stuff is very much legitimate. Like it's not an act. Like Jimmy Butler works hard, but there's a certain amount of theater to what when he talks about that kind of stuff.
Disingenuous.
Yeah. Whereas there's none of that with Tyrese. Like literally every person that comes in contact with him like raves about his work ethic and his character and everything else. So gosh, you would just it would be like tearing your heart out to trade this guy away, because it seems like it's going to be such a joy to watch him continue to develop and improve, and you just really want to see what his ceiling is going to be, and you want to see it in a Sixers uniform. But man, if you can get Durant and have at least 2 years, I would say, where you're the title favorite, like you're the 1A in the entire league. And yeah, it might not work out because there's always a certain degree of luck involved and there's injuries that could pop up.
You could stagger all three of those, like each play 60 games and win all the games where one sits.
Yeah, you definitely could. It would all come down to like, oh, if there's a hamstring injury in the second round of the playoffs or something, like that would
blew it up for the Nets.
Yeah, exactly. So Brooklyn just is coming off a similar situation where they had this star trio that everyone said made them the favorite in the league, and suddenly there's an injury, things kind of fall apart, and then as it turned out, they only ended up playing what, like 43 games together as a group. So
one pesky hamstring and one pesky pandemic with local ordinance to not. And now here we are.
Yep. So you never know. Like you can't just say you have the best trio in the league and that's enough. Like you have to go out and do it. But to put yourself in pole position for at least like a couple years, I feel like that's something that you have to do.
People debate this, like, do you want three stars or do you want depth? But like the teams that do have three bona fide stars, they win it like half of the time. So that's better than the odds on favorite right now, I feel like, has a 22.5% chance or whatever it is. And so you'd be up to like 50 if you could pull off a trade like that. Maybe not act literally, but much higher than you currently are at plus 1500.
Yeah, you definitely vault from like a you need more than double your odds. You'd go from like a 5-10% chance to like a 20-25% chance.
Yeah.
So it would be one of the most polarizing like emotional things to ever happen as far as like the Philly sports landscape. But I think it's you kind of have to do it at the end of the day. And
it would be a testament to what a great pick Maxey was at 21 overall. 20 overall.
Yeah, it would. Like, and people would, like, imagine a scenario where the Sixers do end up winning a title. People would still revere Maxey in this town for
still be a legend. Yeah,
they because to get him back he was the piece that got them Kevin Durant, which got them the title. Yeah. And he would always get a nice ovation whenever he came. Like, he's an all-star in Brooklyn, but people still love him for years to come here. Like, it would still happen.
We have to get his smiling face on the banner somehow.
They could invite him to the parade, I guess. Yeah. yeah, so you really think you would have to do it. So
the thing that's tough is, like, how they could easily have this capital if not for the decisions in between Hinkie and Morey. Like, a lot of wasted assets used to get Tobias and blah blah blah.
Yeah, if you didn't overpay for Tobias and you had, like, one extra draft pick from that deal, if you didn't do the whole Horford debacle and had to, like, give up a draft pick to get off his contract,
it'd be done.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you can't. That it's always hindsight. Like, for every bad pick they made or bad decision they made, they made probably two good ones. Like, on the whole, the last half decade or so, they've done a better job than not of building this team. But yeah, you can always point back to those things. And if they had done everything perfectly, yeah, it'd be a wrap. But that's, you know, that's not how the real world works. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm sure this is going to drag out through the rest of the offseason. Brooklyn is going to try to maintain as much leverage as they can as these discussions continue. They're not going to settle for what they consider to be 50 cents on the dollar. I think it's going to at least going to training camp, and we'll see if, as you mentioned, there's a Durant training camp holdout, whether that forces their hand or not, and whether things really accelerate at that point. But yeah, for now, it's just a super interesting thought exercise. And it's also just a reminder of what a good job this organization has done to make it where they're on the short list for a guy that, you know, not now, probably because he's 33 going into his age 34 season, but has been the best player in the world at some point during his career. And, you know, legitimately wants to come to Philadelphia and play with the roster that they've assembled here. So it's a pretty good time. You know, even it's been a good vibe summer. Everything's been going good. And even amidst, like, an emotionally divisive decision, like trading away Tyrese Maxey for Durant, like, would you or would you not do it? Like, at the core of it, there's still the good vibes of, wow, Durant would want to come here. So,
yeah. And even Tobias Harris in his wedding day joy couldn't appreciate the humor in that, which is fun. I also think it's interesting that with the reports out that, like, Durant has a wandering eye, you know, he obviously wants out and he's maybe frustrated with returns that Sean Marks has done. He clearly isn't, like, thrilled to just stay put, which is maybe an outside referendum on the Ben Simmons trade return. Both Seth Curry played through an injury and needed ankle surgery. Ben Simmons obviously needed back surgery. Daryl Morey got pretty heck of a good return on these guys who might have been banged up if they finished the season out in Philly also. So, you know, there were times we went back and forth and said, did the Nets get the better of them? Are they going to miss those draft picks? But the deal looks better today in light of where the Nets are at and how happy they are or not happy they are with the Ben Simmons end of things.
Yeah, Daryl definitely did pretty well in that deal. And the one kind of interesting corollary is that we were all so excited that he was able to hang on to Matisse. And then Matisse has been like, would he be salary cap dump this offseason? Like, his value has just plummeted after that. But other than that,
yeah, you wonder if you could have kept something more in that trade. I'm skeptical. Maybe if the Bulls really wanted him and you got a third team involved and the Bulls gave the Nets a pick for him, maybe you could have saved the 2023 pick that you now won't have. I don't know. But yeah, it is funny that a lot of reports were that he was a big part of that negotiation. And now Sixers fans are like, well, you could just cut him and sign Whiteside and I'd be happy.
Exactly. Well, Dave, thank you for fleshing all this out with us. I'm glad that you're back from your vacation and we're here because you're the perfect person to run through this with. So thanks again for joining. Where can everybody find you and your work online?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. It's fun to be back. At David Early on Twitter. All my work's at Liberty Ballers, and really excited for this coming season.
Yep, absolutely. I might do a pod next week. I'm not sure. I have a vacation coming up myself for all the listeners out there. So either way, I'll talk to you in a couple weeks at the latest. But until then, enjoy the rumors. Enjoy the rest of your summer. I'll talk to you soon.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, The Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to The Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.